Hi there, and welcome back to another episode of This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez, and we have...
Jeff Sandquist.
So, Jeff, who are you for people that may... Like, the three people watching this?
I sweep the floors around here, and, you know... this is my team that makes Channel 8, 9, 10, Mix Online, TechNet Edge, a bunch of stuff.
Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah, so Jeff is my manager, so we need to make sure to, you know, take care of him.
Of course, yeah. Dan's doing a fantastic job.
Yes, yes, correct, sir. So we kind of got a special episode on a very special This Week on Channel 9.
Very special.
What did Mary Jo call it?
Goodbye Palooza. I don't know if Mary Jo, but it was like, it's been like, the whole week, it's been goodbye, Bill, goodbye, Bill.
Yep.
You know, we've only done about a week. Next week will be okay. See ya.
Bill who?
Yeah, exactly. So this is a picture of Bill Gates and Paul Allen when they were youth, when they were kids, 1969.
Great picture.
Well, what's hilarious is there's a 2-year difference, but Bill looks like Paul Allen's kid.
He's tiny.
Paul looks like he could pull the beer.
Yeah.
You know, Paul's like the best friend you ever had because you knew that, that he could get you beer in, at, you know, at the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bill knows this.
But the best part about this story, so go to the CNNmoney.com. It's a slideshow. Bill actually narrates it, but one of the hilarious things is that they got this machine to do teletype, and then they actually did a class schedule. And Bill got all the cute girls to be in his class, and that was like the thing that he learned for programming.
Nice.
So, how can you not love that?
That's
well
awesome.
Played. Well played.
So one of my favorites. And if I can get through my wireless issues, Newsweek. So Newsweek. Speaking of Bill Palooza, this is or Goodbye Palooza. There was this classic Return of the 70s picture, which you can see on the left here. And then they did it just about 30 years ago. It was December. In December, it'll be 30 years. So you can see the before and after between folks. So Bill Gates and then Paul Allen on the hard right. So
they have a cutout of the original picture over at the Visitor Center.
Oh, yeah.
And I've gone over there, and it's like, got my picture taken, and they're standing in there, send it back home. People go, wow, were you there in the beginning?
Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. Yeah, we should do that. Like, get, like, ZZ Top beards or something.
That'd be perfect.
For, like, Halloween? Yeah.
Put a Channel 9 guy behind him, stuff like that.
Well, I think the great thing about the original photo was one of the guys, I can't remember his name, he had won this. He had, like, won a photo sitting, and so that they took that opportunity to bring the company. Like, they didn't even have enough money to expense, like, a photo shoot back then.
Right.
So it's pretty good contrast there.
So some good stuff. And you'll see, actually, there's one extra female, and the reason why is because she was a receptionist that couldn't make it to that day. So she was one of the original employees that couldn't make it to the team photo.
Because of a snowstorm, right? She was playing World of Warcraft, we know.
Pong.
Yeah.
It'd be Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
I rolled a 20. That is a critical strike on your orc.
She's going to hunt us down. All
right. So, speaking of videos, this is Charles talking to Bill Gates. So you want to talk about Charles?
I mean, this was an amazing interview, and Charles really worked through a bunch of the questions, and he'd been thinking about it for quite some time, you know, like, you know, what should he ask, and he really had a kind of a big pool of questions that he was going through, and timing-wise, it worked out, you know, there's a lot going on with Bill that Charles went and did it at Florida at TechEd. It was actually done, I think, either before or right after the TechEd interview that you did.
Right.
Charles flies down there, does the interview, and it was great, and he comes back, and Larry Larson uploaded it, and I watched the video, and Charles took a couple days down in Florida and then came back. I get an email from Charles a few days after Florida, and it's, hey, I might have chicken pox.
Oh, no.
And so Charles has been out of commission for the last week, because it turns out he did have chicken pox. I just talked to him yesterday, and he's about ready to get back into the scheme of things.
Wow.
But, you know, that'll be a big thing. I mean, hopefully Bill's had chicken pox before. Yeah. Maybe Charles got it on the plane or what.
Oh, wow. And they didn't shake hands at the end, did they?
No,
they did.
They did.
Well,
yeah.
So anyway, I'm sure Bill, he's into that whole health thing. So
yeah.
He's probably immunized and everything. But anyway, Charles got chickenpox after coming back from that. But great interview.
Hmm.
You know, we've had a lot of great moments with Bill on Channel 9. I don't know how many interviews it's been here, but
he's always been a fan.
He's always
been a supporter.
His videos play outside his office on a big screen, a TV, there's a kind of like a WPF app.
Oh, no way.
That's what he wrote, and all these videos, This Week in Channel 9.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Through there.
Hey. Well, I guess you're not there. Well,
it's, maybe it's Friday.
Hey, Steve.
If it's Friday.
Yeah.
But yeah, our videos play. He's been a huge fan of what we're doing. And, you know, I can remember when we, the first time we interviewed Bill, we got done, and we had 15 minutes of time with Bill, and I was, you know, instructed, you know, make sure you only use the 15 minutes. You know, Bill's got a very busy schedule. And we got done with the interview, and towards the end, we get ready to walk out, and Bill goes, come here for a second. I'm like,
uh-oh.
Did I screw up?
Yeah.
I really got to pay for my mortgage. I got a kid in college and stuff like that. And he goes, tell me, do you guys still use Movie Maker? And I said, yep. He said, do you still edit your own videos? And I said, yeah, for the most part. I mean, once in a while, we'll do a little bit one of the events. But we mostly run our own videos for Movie Maker. He says, I like that. He says, you know, when teams are successful, you know, sometimes they go off and they do all these other big things and things like that. And he says, it's just great that you guys are still at your roots. And he's just been a super, super big supporter of
that's
it.
Cool.
And, you know, so is Ray Ozzie and so forth. So it's fun to have a project that's, like, visible like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So let's actually go to a clip from this interview. Let's go to the clip.
You're transitioning away from Microsoft as full-time chief software architect. You're going to be the chairman. When did you make that decision? You know, how hard of a decision was that to make, and what exactly is your new role?
Well, it was 8 years ago when Steve Ballmer took over as CEO of the company, and that was a transition for me to move from being in charge of basically everything, the business decisions, the org chart, the tax strategies, whatever it was, to being able to focus just on the product strategy. And that worked out fantastically. You know, the company's done extremely well, grown our research group, grown our innovation. And so that partnership Steve and I have had has been amazing. It was about 3 years ago I talked to Steve about how I wanted to get more time for the foundation. Mm-hmm. And in that conversation we talked about, okay, let's make sure we've got incredible people that are stepping up to do what I did. We wanted to make it public early on, so it was actually 2 years ago that we announced that this would take place. We highlighted the role that Ray Ozzie would take on as chief software architect, the role that Craig Mundy would take on, having the research group report in through him, and the community of technical fellows. Mm. You know, partly because of my visibility, the incredible work that a lot of these people do, where they're the real experts in database or security or the different things. Mm-hmm. You know, I think this is an opportunity for people to see how important their role is and how brilliant their work is. And so now the 2 years is up, the day is coming, and we're making the change.
So great interview, Charles. Hope you start feeling better soon. And speaking of Bill Gates interviews, there's a lot more if you want to kind of find out what's going on with Bill here, what his perspective is.
Yeah, so two things that I liked in here was there's the Microsoft leadership page, is the Bill Gates transition virtual press room. But basically, there's two videos. One is looking back, moving ahead, so it's like where we've been, where we're going. And then another one is Ballmer and Gates on the computing revolution, which I think is pretty interesting too. So check out those clips. Actually, let's go to one right now. We'll go to the Gates looking back one.
It will be fantastic to see what 30 years from now we celebrate as the contribution that he made during this second career for Bill Gates.
And I think when people look back, I don't know, 100 years from now, they'll think about literally a period that's probably 50 or 60 years long in which computer technology changed the world. I think they'll just say, wow, wasn't that an amazing period? As amazing as any industrial revolution, as any kind of advance in the history of the world. You know, we really achieved the ideal of what I wanted Microsoft to become.
Bill's pad, you know, holy cow. You know, this is Bill's, you know, this thing off of, if you've ever came to Microsoft, you've ever been a partner, come to an evangelism event, I mean, I think, you know, one of the nightly things is you got to go for the boat ride on, what's the name of that boat company?
Argosy Cruises.
You could take Argosy Cruises, and you got to go by there. And I think I can actually repeat back what the guy says every time. He talks about, this is actually a helicopter pad down on the water. And you know, anyway, amazing pad, totally redefined cribs. You know, one thing was really, really interesting. One time I did the tour, I looked, and I saw two big Adirondack chairs and two little Adirondack chairs for the kids.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like, I looked at that and I just thought, you know, Bill's a dad.
Yeah.
You know? And we kind of lose sight in the fact that here's this guy, you know, amazing business person, great technologist. And I remember going by there and I just saw these two little Adirondack chairs there on the beach and the two big ones. And then just thinking, like, you know, just like me, the guy's a dad too. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he does. He has a little beach out front, which is pretty cool. Yep. You can kind of see that in the picture here.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, this to me looks like some huge log flume ride, so. But, I mean, talk about using technology at the time. Here, so here's a couple of zoom-ins. This was an old-school U.S. News story on Bill's house. But the pool, which is larger than my house, is a 17 by 60-foot swimming pool, underwater music system, just in case, you know, you don't want to come up for air. And the other cool part is, like, you can swim under some glass and actually go outside. So it has part inside, part outdoors.
That's cool.
The other cool part is the library. So it actually, Bill G. bought the Leonardo da Vinci 16th century Codex Leicester. God, I hope I'm saying that right. And he has in this library that has an Oculus, which is a light well.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's a light well?
It's just a hole in the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
Like a Roman Pantheon, if anybody's been. But the cool part is it has two secret pivoting bookcases, and one has a bar.
Nice.
So let me...
And what's the other one?
Let's get you a drink.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, so...
So, exercise facilities with men's and women's lockers?
Yes.
This is your house. Do you really need that kind of separation?
Well, if you're going to have people over.
People over
to work out. If Bono's over, you know,
oh,
he brings people.
Of course, that's right. He does stay at Bill's house, doesn't he?
And a trampoline room, 20-foot ceiling.
That's wicked.
Yeah.
That's about the same size as yours, right?
Your house, yeah.
Yeah.
The trampoline is about the same size as my house. That's correct. So the other thing is, like, you get the guest microchip and all the paintings change, the music changes, the temperature changes in the room. They got T1 everywhere. Now that's what the article said. So I got to assume they have like OC3 or something by now.
Yeah.
Or like it got to be faster than Fios. Yeah.
Or just a copy of the internet in the house.
In memory cache. Yeah. You could though. And then the pressure sensitive floors, they can actually see like a real time map of anybody in any room that they're in based on the floors.
It's like a casino.
I know.
That's
dude.
Cool.
That's great.
So talk about cribs, man. He has the ultimate crib. So other stuff, favorite Bill G stories. So I know you had some Bill G stories you've already said, but you wanna talk about your...
It's been a pretty crazy week, you know, and I think about Bill moving on. And you know, transitioning the foundation. That's for me. I've actually had a couple moments that were kind of close to it, and I guess the first one was about 2 years ago. I was actually leaving work, and I was driving away in my car, and my cell phone rings, and it was Frank Shaw from WAG-ED, and he gave me a call, and he says, "Hey, look, we've got a potential announcement that's going to happen tomorrow. I can't tell you right now on a, you know, cell phone line what it's going to be, but can you have your, you know, Channel 9 team, you know, at Microsoft Studios at, you know, 7:30 tomorrow morning?" And he says, "Trust me, you're going to want this." I was like, "Well, you know, great, okay, it's got to be something good, and you know, or wow, what a great tactic to get on Channel 9."
So I called. We're splitting the company into three.
yeah, and I was like, so I went home and I was like, had, you know, no idea what it was. I phoned Tori up and I said, "Hey, got this interview. We're gonna go do this. You know, meet me there about 7:30 or so." I went in and saw Frank, and Larry Cohen was there, and sat down with them. And they said, "Look, we're about to tell you something." And then they ran through the whole thing that Bill is going to be retiring, that making the move to the transition, full time as chairman. You know, all the stuff. And I was like, "Wow." And he said, "We want you guys to interview Bill and Steve, and we want you to put it online on Channel 9 the moment that we disclose this." Hmm. I was like, "Wow." So and then Charles walks in, "Hey, who are we going to be interviewing?" And we tell him what's going on, and we went and did the interview. And what was kind of, it was just so neat because, you know, watching this interview and going, "Wow, this is a really big deal. You know, this is a moment in time that, you know, I'll definitely tell my grandchildren about." And then get done, and Bill goes off to be with Melinda, you know, and get ready for the big press announcement. They bring in all the press to Microsoft too. And we got talking to Steve Ballmer, and he's talking, and he's like, what do you guys think? And he's talking about Ray and stuff, and I just said, you know, thanks for doing this. Thanks for involving Channel 9. We had this, you know, this great little chat. And he says, what are you guys doing next? And I said, well, I'm going to go back to work. We're going to get this video edited. And he goes, well, why don't you guys do that here? And why don't you come sit in the big press room when they make the announcement? Go in there and sitting in the room, and I watch all the different presidents of the company. Robbie Bach runs in. I see Ray Ozzie come in, and Charles and I sit back in the room, and, you know, Jay Allard was there, and I'm watching all these people, and I look, and who sits in front of me? It was like Melinda. And I think
Melinda Gates
was there, Bill's wife, and you know, I watched Bill and Steve up there, and again, it was like, you know, I talked about those Adirondack chairs. I saw two guys that were great friends, you know, that they were friends in college together, they did business together, and watching them on stage. And then I got to watch Melinda's face.
Yeah.
And I didn't see, you know, Melinda Gates, partner in the foundation. I saw a proud wife, you know? And I saw her nodding and smiling. When Bill talks about the foundation, she smiled. And when Bill would talk in that announcement about Ray Ozzie and say, you know, he said, for many years we thought about, like, how could we partner with Ray and how could we do business together? And you could see Melinda just nodding, you know, with that. And that was just, again, I got to see Bill as a human being. And I thought about it. I think about Channel 9. Channel 9's been always about showing the human beings behind our software, that we have people that genuinely care, and when we screw up, and we're proud when we do great things. And I said, oh my gosh. I said, you know, this was a moment where I could see Bill as a human being. And that was big for me. And so we've got that video went out, and that was just a great day. And I remember coming home just pumped. Funny thing was, last Friday, a documentary aired on the BBC called The Money Program, and a bunch of Niners had seen it. And it turned out the day that the BBC was here filming some different pieces of it, we had a review with Bill on a couple things. And there's about two or three scenes in there where you walk through, and it's like they do some looming voiceover. And then and there's me and Bill walking, and I'm talking, and I don't know what I'm talking about, you know. But they use that to stitch it together. And so this is a fairly well-done documentary, and that aired on BBC Two. I think it's going to be on Discovery Channel, or I'm not sure. It's going to be on other networks. But there was another moment that I saw, you know, I saw Bill stepping away, and for this complete and total fluke, here I'm in this BBC documentary.
That's awesome.
Through there, and it's like they're interviewing Chris Capicella, and my wife is going, they have 90,000 employees. She counted like the 10 or 12 people that are in the thing.
Yeah. Right.
And there's Jeff, this little kid, you know, this guy from Saskatchewan that's doing this thing. But, you know, again, was just, you know, watching Bill, the impact he's had in this company, the enigma that, you know, that he's been, and you know, I just count myself very lucky to have been a part of, you know, all of these moments with him. You know, it's I've been in different reviews with Bill, the famous Bill reviews, and seen that and see his impact on this company. You know, that's a big part of our history. There's a huge part of Microsoft moving forward that's exciting. You know, we're into that next big wave of computing and where things are going to go next. And so, goodbye to Bill, but, you know, and, you know, he's coming in on every Friday. He's still the chairman.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. The other thing is he's still working on, like, he sort of cherry-picked his projects,
exactly.
Of course. Yeah. But, like, Windows 7, so having, you know, Bill making sure that the right pressure is applied there should mean a quality release.
Yeah, so that's just to me. It was the fact when I can see Bill and see our people as human beings, right? And I joked, Microspotting did this interview to me a while back, and I joked, I said, often our execs remind me of Santa Claus, right? There are these enigmas, these big you know, figures that you don't really see, and you see pictures, and, you know, once in a while you get a letter from them, but, you know, they don't seem real. And Bill, over the last few years, became very, very real to me. And it's a neat moment for the company.
And how long have you been with Microsoft?
Something like about 11 or 12 years like that. And,
wow.
Yeah, started answering the phones in PSS. And I've done every
product support.
Yep. And active server pages. It was called Internet Studio. It wasn't even out yet.
Ooh, Internet Studio.
And that was later a code name for Visual InterDev.
Right, of course.
And one of Eric Rutter's products. But I did everything from Fox Pro support to Visual InterDev, active server pages, the ASP stuff. I was a lead PM in Visual Studio. I was a lead PM in MSDN. Worked in evangelism, and this Channel 9 thing was just this complete fluke that that I still, you know, Lynn and myself and Bryn and Charles and Scoble, I mean, we're just to this day, as I always tell people, may you at some point in your life have a wonderful project like this, because Channel 9 has changed the lives of so many people mm-hmm. around the company. It's been great. So
if people have Fox Pro questions, they can email you?
Fox Pro 2.6, baby.
Excellent.
I can do it. I can support the DOS version or the Windows version.
Excellent. Your email is going to fill
DOS
up.
DOS version.
Yes. So
yeah, anyway. You will start getting emails.
Yes. Yeah. But lots of other, you had a lot of other Bill Gates stories. And,
yeah, so we're actually going to
things like that, so we'll see you later.
Okay, well, there he goes, pulling the classic. Everybody's got to do the Bill G when they leave us, yeah. man. Hello. Thank God for Clint that actually stays until the end. But Hanselman and now Sandquist.
Yeah, well, Clint still gets paid hourly, so that's why he sticks around.
Yeah. He's always, like, looking for handouts. So finally,
so,
we're alone.
Speaking of other...
Oh, right.
With all of our friends here. So, speaking of other Bill stories.
Yeah, so this is the cool part. So, we wanted to get perspectives from mm-hmm. a bunch of people. So, we talked to Bill Hill, we talked to Larry Osterman, and
Joan Oshino.
Joan Soma, and a bunch of voices on their favorite Bill G stories. So, let's go to the clip.
All right.
Okay, so my favorite Bill G memory. This was, oh my gosh, probably almost 15 years ago in the mid-90s, and I was managing WinHEC. It was in San Francisco, and Bill was our keynote speaker. And schedules got kind of messed up, so at the last minute, we had to find a quick way to get him from an earlier speaking commitment in Carmel over to Moscone. He didn't have time to drive, so the only way we could do it is to rent a helicopter. So he was going to helicopter in, and then we needed to find a public helicopter landing pad in downtown San Francisco for him to land, which, as you can imagine, there's not a whole lot of them. So we finally, through the help of the city, found a place out by, I think it was Golden Gate Park, where he could land. And then the city said, well, you know, since your time frame is so tight, we'll provide an escort. So I said, okay. And back then, Bill didn't have big security or anything, so it was literally me jumping in a rental car, driving over to this helipad, waiting for Bill. So his helicopter lands, he and his assistant hop in my car, and then I notice there's the San Francisco motorcycle cop there. So he comes up to the car and says, oh, I'm your escort, you know, follow me, stay close. And I said, all right. So we take off, and we're driving, and we're I'm briefing Bill on what has happened with WinHEC and what's going on, and we're driving to the city and talking, and Bill's like, why do we have an escort? And I said, I'm not sure. The city wanted to send it, you know, whatever. And as we're driving, then I notice the cop's starting to go faster and faster, and I'm getting further behind, and then he's, you know, motioning me to pick up the speed. And then we start going through red lights. And so then I realized, well, that's why the cop wanted me to stay close, because he's got his siren going now, and in order for us to get to Moscone in time, we're blowing through red lights. And I'm driving white-knuckled thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to, like, get in an accident, and I'm going to be the responsible for hurting Bill, and I am so going to get fired. And I'm looking over at Bill's assistant, and he's just kind of looking at me like, what the heck? And I'm looking over at Bill, and he is leaning over from the back seat into the front with this big old grin on his face, telling me, go faster, Joan, go faster. So here we are, the last 2 miles, we're zipping through red lights. We get to Moscone about 20 minutes before he's supposed to get on stage. But I got him there safely, not a scratch on him.
I love some of those stories. It's so great just hearing people reminisce. And Bill has an online yearbook. It's internal to the company, but that's how we found a lot of those stories, right?
Yeah. So there's a couple others that I may be able to get as well. So a lot of people have their Bill G stories.
Yeah, for sure.
So so wrapping stuff up, there's a ton of news.
Yeah, there's still developer news to get to. That's just Bill, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So we love Bill. but talking about DevTools stuff, so what's going on? So this is Muhammad Ashraful Alam did two blog posts. One is the 10 tools that I ditched when I got VSTS 2008.
Right.
Like things like unit testing, things like performance profiling, static analysis, FXCOP.
Yep.
Just use the metrics, et cetera. And then 10 tools I still use. So even after VSTS, there's certainly a lot of tools, like things like CodeSmith. So.
Right. And I think what a lot of people don't understand about all those individual tools that are now within VSTS is the fact that they're all stitched together really adds a lot of value, and we're synergy, if you will, to use the marketing term. But in addition to having like unit tests built in and to having code coverage built in and having performance tools, all this stuff shows up in your reports just by virtue of the fact that we know about all those tools that you're using. And so it shows up in your reports. It shows up in your stats. You can report on it and watch the trends over time, assign bugs based based on, hey, your unit test failed, and automatically assign that bug back to the developer and have a, you know, bug tracked against TFS, and that all surfaces in your reporting. So pretty interesting blog post.
Yeah, yeah. So it's cool to see certainly things he doesn't need anymore and things that he's still using.
Mm-hmm.
So another project, this is by Sasha Barber and Marlon Greck, and the combination of their names is the name of the tool, MarsaX. But it's code project article. It's a WBF version of PicLens. So PicLens is this Flash tool that lets you sort of visualize data along a long stream. It's that...
so you can point it at your Flickr gallery and it comes up. It's really super cool.
Yeah, yeah. So these guys actually built a open source version that's on a code project using WBF. So some cool stuff, and they use it to visualize pictures from Flickr.
Nice.
So check out that article. Cool stuff. Congrats, guys.
Another article from Greg Duncan, the man with two names.
Yes.
So this is an ASP source code analyzer. So it's kind of, I guess, static analysis would be the right word for this, looking at your ASP source code and looking for SQL injection so that you can write better ASP code. This is not ASP.NET. This is classic ASP, of which there's still a ton of it out there.
Right.
So if you still have ASP floating around on your website and you use SQL Server, then run this tool, and it can help. It's from Microsoft. It can help you find any potential security flaws there.
Yeah, the interesting part was there was some report saying, oh, there's some huge new SQL Slammer vulnerability, and really all it was is there was no SQL vulnerability for 2005 or 2000 or whatever. It was simply that people were automating SQL injection attacks.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was a couple months back. Yeah, Scott Gook talked about that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this is exactly designed to prevent this. And the nice thing is, I mean, this is, you know, how many years has it been since we released Classic ASP? We're still doing tools, and this is sort of a response to that. So kudos to the team for building this so quickly.
Mm-hmm. So some controversy here.
I know.
What is this all about?
Well, yeah, so I got to assume, I thought this was, you know, a Paris Hilton thing or a Team Jolie versus Team Aniston, you know, whose side are you on? But no, it turns out all these data wonks.
Aniston, by the way, but go ahead.
What did I say?
You said Team Jolie versus Team Aniston. Which side are you on? I'm on Team Aniston.
Oh, Team Jolie. What?
What?
Oh, are you kidding me?
All right.
Oh my God, are you, she's.
Another show.
Yeah, no, I want to walk off. All right, so we'll see what people think.
Okay.
But a bunch of people basically created an online poll saying they have a vote of, quote, no confidence for the Entity Framework.
That's kind of harsh.
Yeah. Yeah. P.S., I realize you haven't released yet, but I just wanted to make it known that me and, you know, 100 of my friends have no confidence in your product and or service.
Well, that might be a little bit harsh criticism of their complaints, but it's interesting to see the product team response. So Tim M. Blogged about this and basically responded, which is, it's a little bit much for us to get into in the show right now.
Yeah, but, so there's a number of things, and like he goes through. I mean, this is the great part about having blogs, and that, you know, we're all a community.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, Aniston and Jolie fans can get together,
mm-hmm.
but mostly. He goes through step by step and talks about, hey, look, this is a V1.
Yep.
There's certain things that, you know, we didn't design this. This wasn't a design goal. So, yeah, you're not going to get that functionality.
Right.
Or this scenario we're looking to add in V2.
Right.
Or, hey, you know what? That's great feedback. We're actually looking to do this. Yeah. We talked about some MVPs. The way we were going to do it was terrible. They were going to do some CLR hacks for some stuff.
Yep.
What do you think about this? So it's literally getting feedback into the cycle, and I think we in general need to do that better. But
right.
So while it kind of is like a pretty harsh way to tell the Entity Framework team, you know, screw you guys, I'm going home.
Whatever, I'll do what I want.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So hopefully they'll work together.
Yeah, and he gives you his email address. So.
Yeah, yeah. So you can go through, and they have now an entire blog dedicated to the Entity Framework design.
Nice.
So going forward. So good communication. We'll see what falls out. Haven't seen a response to Tim's response of the original poll. So, and if you Niners have strong feelings about this, feel free to send us an email.
Yeah.
We'll do a webcam thing. All works.
Yep. Okay. Great. Cool. What's next?
Carl Seguin did a book. He calls it Foundations of Programming. But I really think it should be called building better software, or being a better programmer. It reminded me of I think it's Andy Hunt's Pragmatic Programmer. Mm. When I first read that, it goes through all the stuff that you want to do to sort of upgrade your game, right?
Design patterns,
right?
Testing practices.
Unit testing, dependency injection, ORM tools, everything you need to know to sort of like, hey, there's all this stuff going on there to help you build, craft better software.
Right.
Use it.
That's great. And this is free.
Totally free.
Wow.
Yeah, so I went through it and I was like, damn, this is really good. And the comments were great too. So don't let this gem escape you. Print it out or something.
Nice.
It is a free download.
Very cool.
And thank you, Carl.
Yeah.
For the contribution.
Yeah, speaking of contributions, Derek Whitaker putting together what he calls Dimecasts.
Yes.
So these are 10-minute or less screencasts that you can go from beginning to end and you've got, you know, working code.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great thing is sometimes, and this is one of the things obviously we're trying with like C9 Bytes is, but like, quick, short, to the point, just show me one thing.
Right.
So these are really cool. They're a bunch available now. I think there's like 14 now, but definitely check them out.
Yep.
So cool stuff, and kudos to Derek.
Okay. So that brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
All right. What's your Pick of the Week? I see cartoon characters. What's going on here?
Yeah, you know, originally mine was the Cribs, but, you know, the second I saw Innova Partners' blog on this, this cracks me up, dude. Well, I have this secret love for PHP. It's just so, it's so easy. It's so, like, everybody ends up using it, and people rag on it all the time, but it's used all the time. So, I think this is hilarious, the voice. And how much does it suck to be a Java developer? I mean,
you didn't. Well, what is this exactly?
Oh.
Yeah, so right in.
Yeah, sure. This is if programming languages were Futurama characters.
Nice.
So Python's exactly what I expect it to be. And Perl. Perl is a little on.
ROR. What is it? ROR.
Ruby on Rails.
Oh, Ruby on Rails. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So some pretty funny ones.
Good stuff.
Yeah,
I must admit it's been a while since I watched Futurama. So,
yeah, some of these characters I didn't know, but
yeah, sounds good.
Good stuff.
So my Pick of the Week. So Will Peter Schwab, we've talked about him on the show before. He puts together all sorts of really great VSTS posters. Here he's done a 9-part investigation, CSI style, of the April community technology preview of Visual Studio Team System codename Rosario.
How the hell did you do that? That was impressive.
Yeah, I've been rehearsing for weeks. Thank you. But seriously, he dives into each area of the community technology preview and offers his insights about what he likes, what he doesn't like, what he hopes is will be building. And so if you haven't had a chance to download the community technology preview and play with the bits, then definitely do that. You can also take a look at Willie Petershaw's blog entry to kind of get the play-by-play there.
Yeah, I loved it. If nothing else, you want to know the future of Rosario, like literally go through, and he has some great screenshots of some of the UML tools and actually using them. And there's even a Q&A part for, hey, I wasn't sure whether this is working or how this feature will end up. But it's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
I was really impressed. And he gave Rosario 5 smileys. He's like, it's that good, I'm using it now for like a current project.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
well, that's against the license, but I'm not going to say anything.
I'm sorry, Willie, if you could go to electronic jail for using our product and building great content. Way to go.
And that's about all the time we have for this week on Channel 9. We'll see you next week.
Bye, Bill.